Okay. I hope Patrick Reed sets scoring records on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then chokes off a 20-stroke lead on Sunday just so he goes down
pulls
as
a Rory.
Yeah, pulls a Greg Norman. Hey, welcome back, golf enthusiasts, to the Playing Through Golf podcast. My name is William Starcevich. I'm joined with
Travis White,
Chris Lopez.
I know we've been off for a few weeks, but it's officially golf season now here in the Midwest.
Hell yeah.
Because me and Chris have actually got out and played a few rounds outdoors. We're not going to get into the details on some of that.
Nope, we really shouldn't.
But this is Masters Week,
Masters
Travis.
Masters Week.
And, you know, we, of course, have to get our predictions down. You know, a couple of front runners and maybe a dark horse. And then we'll talk about the glaring, obvious absence of Tiger Woods. But it's a little weird to me, the Masters right now, because we just did this, three months ago?
Mm-hmm.
And I watched some of last week's. They hosted a really cool event there over the last few weeks. They had a women's amateur.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the drive, chip, and putt, which is over the last 8 or 10 years has been a staple there the week before. And it was really cool to see them there out and about. You know, some of them still had masks on, but for the most part, they were just enjoying being outdoors in the competition. And did you watch any of that, Chris?
I didn't get to watch any of it.
I watched a little bit of it.
I saw what was coming up on Twitter, and that's when I sent you the thing and said, look, the 13-year-old girls are out driving me.
There was a 12-year-old boy that hit it 274, yo.
Yeah, was he the one that did, like, the Kyle Berkshire rock?
Oh, I didn't see that part of it.
Oh, that kid was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might have been him. It might have been him.
I'm going to say, I saw his swing, and it looked like he tattooed it.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't know, Kyle Berkshire is a world long drive champion, and he'll do this thing where he shifts dramatically. He'll go all of his weight onto the front, literally pick his back foot up,
mm-hmm.
and he'll rock back and do the same with his front, and then rock again, and then when he comes through, to say he swings hard is an understatement.
It is an understatement.
He hit a driving iron today, and I want to say it was like 187 or 195 or something like that was clubhead or ball speed.
The ball speed?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, so I would have liked to have seen some of those kids out at Augusta there. The ball speed and the ball data that they had.
Right.
But there was a kid that won, I want to say he won the 10 and 11-year-old division, and he drained a long putt. Mm-hmm. And the kid was like, he started to break down after he got back over with his dad. It was really cool to see. And I think, you know, there's golfers that nobody likes on PGA Tour, right? They're just dickheads.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we can.
You want a list?
I will. Who comes first to your mind?
Patrick Reed.
Who's number two, you think?
Bubba.
Mm-hmm. Right? So Bubba, he makes a point now of going out to the drive, chip, and putt and going around shaking hands.
Right. JT was there.
Yeah, but JT's a nicer guy.
Oh, I know. But
he's considered a dickhead.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And I actually watched an interview about Bubba gave out talking about why he was such a dickhead.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because he was listening to everybody and his nerves tripping. And he got so anxious about a lot of things. But doesn't give you carte blanche to be a peckerhead.
Well, but the other thing, he was also watching the women play. That was the other thing, too, is they showed him walking with some of the players.
So he's been there for 2 weeks already.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, well, let's get into the Masters. It's a special week. It's the kickoff. It's our first official major of the year. And to us in the Midwest, it really feels like that's the beginning of our golf season.
Yep, right.
And this year, especially because we had to push everything back last year, it just feels like a bigger deal to me.
Right.
Now, Tiger Woods being absent.
Sucks.
Playing, sucks. But I wouldn't say he's absent because I have been watching most of the buildup this week. And they bring him up every chance they get.
All the time.
And the players are doing it as well.
Yeah, I mean, Freddie.
They said this morning that he texted JT and Freddie and he's just hating it.
Yeah.
You know, and he made a funny comment yesterday. He says, I'm going to miss running up DJ's tab.
At the
Champs Dinner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And had you guys know what they're doing, what DJ did for the Champs Dinner?
Yeah. Pigs in a blanket.
Like, I thought that was funny. And for those that don't know, the returning champions or the past champions, that year's champion hosts the Champions Dinner. Mm-hmm. So he sets the menu. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they say it's one of the biggest traditions, and those guys will always come back.
All the former champions come back.
It's a huge deal. But what I didn't know until just the other day, David Duvall was talking about traditions like that we don't know a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
David Duvall never won a Masters, and he said, you know, that one of these, you know, going to those dinners would be huge.
Right.
You know, with all the legends.
Right.
But what he does, because he's a British Open champ,
mm-hmm.
is they have a dinner every 5 years, and then they all get together.
Oh, wow.
So, and it's always at St. Andrews.
No kidding.
And he was like, it's similar, but in his mind, it's almost more special because it's every 5 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And of course, in his mind, it has to be more special because he's a British Open champion.
Right.
But I thought that was crazy, and I didn't know that.
I didn't
know that at all.
No, and don't you find that cool?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they do it with the other two, do they?
Not that I know of.
Not for the U.S. Open. I think we would know about something like that.
Yeah, like a USGA one. The kind of the big thing with a U.S. Open is, I've been to the USGA house in New Jersey, and there's rooms full of the club that they got from the champion.
Because
mm-hmm. supposedly, they say, what was the most important club to you for this event?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, Johnny Miller, when he won his, it was his 10 iron of sandwich.
Yeah.
And so that is up in a display for Johnny Miller.
Right.
And there were some drivers in there.
It'd be interesting to see all the different clubs.
Yeah, it was cool, especially going through the time frames of everything. Mm-hmm. Who was Retief Goosen.
Mm-hmm.
When he won, it was in Oklahoma when he won one of his U.S. Opens.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important club was his driver.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, holy shit, he's still playing a steel shafted driver. It was like, you know, an earlier or summer edition of a Big Bertha.
Right.
But it was a steel shaft. And I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, but it's in display at the USGA house.
It's crazy.
So getting back to DJ, he's got to be considered one of the favorites.
I have the odds up. Him and DeChambeau are 19-2 odds.
So they're the favorites?
They're the favorites to win.
All right, so who do you got, Chris? Who's your top two favorites?
Top two favorites? Well,
and then we'll do a dark horse after.
Top two favorites, I'm going to go Jordan because he's my boy. You know, and I know
there's
that
shocker.
I know that just irritates the crap out of you.
He's playing well.
But he's playing well, you mm-hmm. know, and he does find a way to do that. But I'm going to come back with JT as well. You know, I think those are my two top picks. I could go for the obvious, but you know, we thought about the obvious when we went with the last Masters, and the obvious didn't happen.
Right.
You know, even though he's now...
False. I picked the winner.
Yeah, he did nail the winner.
But I'm more referring to DeChambeau, which we all kind of, in the back of our minds, thought, you know, this guy should...
He should.
And watching him warm up the other day with Vijay Singh looking on...
Did you hear what Vijay told him?
He's not swinging hard.
Or asked him? Yeah, you're not swinging hard enough. I want to see 211. Yeah. Okay. And like, he started repping him out.
Dude, I mean, and he was hitting him angry.
Yeah.
He was like hitting him angry. And I'm like,
it was like he's got to amp himself up before he does that because he swings so hard.
You ever seen him breathe before he hits?
Yeah, he's getting his heart rate up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what gets him to...
And then one of those things, I don't understand how he then gets it back down unless he does some kind of... you know, combat breathing to lower your heart rate again.
Right.
Because otherwise, you'd still feel that in your fingers as you're trying to do a putt or whatever.
You would think so.
Like, anyway.
Yeah.
So
those are my two.
Who do you got? We're going DJ and Spieth for Chris.
No, he didn't.
JT.
No,
JT.
I'm taking DJ.
Yeah, DJ and.
I want to say I don't like Jon Rahm. Colin Morikawa.
No, that's
my top two.
That's a good pick.
That's a good one.
That's
I like
pick.
That.
I like that pick.
I was actually going to go with JT as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, he's coming off of not his biggest win because he's already a major champion, but
mm-hmm.
winning the players is huge.
Yeah, I think that was huge.
And then Jordan winning last week. I mean, I'm sure, and those two are tight. I mean, they've been playing mm-hmm. junior golf together for a long time.
Yep.
So I think that's a really good one to feed off of.
Yeah.
And if they're both, which they are recently playing really well,
mm-hmm.
I like them too. You know, I'm actually rooting for Jordan because I think he moves the needle.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think JT would too a little bit.
Yeah, I think that Jordan is the one that I think that he's the heart favorite of a lot of people.
Yeah, that's
you know,
he's
watching him win last week was huge. You know, because he's worked so hard, and I mean, and they did a really nice thing on PGA.com, did a story and you know literally had tape of him talking himself through the last 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I got to do this or I got to do that. And let's face it, with COVID, we've learned how the conversations with him and Mike work,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how they talk about it. And Mike is just right there. And I think one of the things they really focused in on is he didn't get rid of anybody on his team. He kept everybody the same.
Yeah, no, it's not.
He stuck by everybody and he just like, we're going to figure this out together.
it's not like a lot of people where they're blaming those around them when really it's a little bit of an internal search and some you maybe just have to work through.
Right.
But I'm my favorite, my pick is JT, and then my second kind of favorite would be Xander Schauffele.
Oh, yeah. I thought about picking him.
Yeah. So Xander, you know, he was runner-up in 2019.
Yeah.
He's got several top finishes, and I think he's on his fourth or fifth time playing there, which is kind of that wheelhouse when guys start to really figure out where that golf course is.
Yeah.
And he, played, like I said, finished second in 2019, and that would have put him at...
He's kind of like in the same area as Cantlay.
Yeah, so, yeah, Cantlay I thought about too.
Cantlay's another one that, you know, you kind of think about. He's been close, and he's had a couple top tens, I think, but he always seems to play well. And like you said, you got to figure that out. I mean, they always talk about the greens and things like that.
So one of them that I thought also would be like, is he a sentimental type favorite just because they had a kid last week? Would be Jon Rahm.
Yeah.
And Jon Rahm's played well there. He's got three straight top tens there. And Jon Rahm is actually younger than Xander Schauffele.
What?
Does it seem that way?
No.
No.
Right? Well, Schauffele is 27 and Jon Rahm is 26.
Jon Rahm looks like he's 35.
Dude. Yeah, yeah. Seriously. But yeah, and he just had a kid. And so he flew in, I think it was yesterday. So I don't know if his head's there. Is it going to go, hey, I'm so distracted? Or, hey, I'm playing for something different now.
Right.
So with his history there, he's got to be one of those to really keep an eye on. And then, you know, my overall, you know, Patrick Reed.
I don't like him.
I don't either.
Stop it.
Hope he trips and falls.
Okay. I hope Patrick Reed sets scoring records on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then chokes off a 20-stroke lead on Sunday just so he goes down
pulls
as...
Pulls a Rory.
Yeah, pulls a Greg Norman.
Oh, man, that's
where
brutal.
Yeah, let him blow up. I hope he dunks 15 of them in on 12. Like, just because he's an asshole. But none of us said Bryson DeChambeau.
Nope.
I just don't see it yet. I think he's still a novelty, even though he's won a major. You know, I don't know if he can put it together with so many people watching him. You know, he's starting to, you know, when people are watching him now, he's kind of going the way of John Daly.
Yes.
Don't hate on my boy.
I'm not hating on him. I'm just saying, think about it. John Daly became a novelty. He was never considered seriously as a golfer. He's been a novelty his entire career.
Yeah, he won two majors, John Daly.
Yep.
But ultimately, after his first major, he became, I kind of used this term when I was talking about Ditka after he was done with the Bears and he went to the Saints. He became a caricature of himself.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's what DeChambeau is in danger of being.
Yes.
Hey, I'm just somebody who's going to play goofy grips and one-length clubs and swing as hard as I can.
Yeah, just try to piss pound it all I can.
You know, I would rather be a long drive champ, but this makes more money kind of thing.
Yeah.
So speaking of long drive champ that's trying to be a PGA guy, that's
Berkshire
is trying to become a PGA player.
Yeah. I think he'd be fun to see out there if he could learn to control his game.
Yeah.
I mean, but he's another one that could become a novelty.
Yeah.
You know.
I follow him on Instagram and whatnot, and he works on that stuff.
Yeah.
He does, and there's a YouTube channel that I watch a lot. It's called Good Golf, and he's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the guys there, I just really like watching them play. But he's one. Like, they'll go out and do Sunday matches, and he's trying to work on his game, not just hitting it far.
Right.
But, one player that is in the field and has to be considered just because of his pedigree is Brooks Koepka. But he had knee surgery 3 weeks ago.
Did you see how he has to line up a putt now?
No.
He can't bend his right knee. So it's like he's doing like a groin stretch out to the right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he's on one knee bent, and the other one is his right leg's out here. And I'm just like,
he said his knee won't allow him to do it.
Yeah.
Have you seen him hit any shots yet?
No. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be very curious.
They said he's hitting okay, but it's. Yeah. I'm sorry. 4 days of walking.
No, it's got to be.
That's not
going to
be good.
No.
That's not going to be good. And not to mention the fact he has not had a good spring or a good, you know, coming off winter, January, February, March.
Well, he won it.
He won.
He won it.
But at the same time, prior Scottsdale. To him winning. How many sets did he break?
He was terrible going up to TPC Scottsdale. Then Koepka won.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of kind of just on a late charge on Saturday, Sunday.
That eagle chip in he had, and that kind of just fueled everything. But
then right after that, he was out again, knee surgery.
Yep.
And then his first round back is at the Masters. Yeah.
I
then,
don't see it.
You know, some of the ones that I think are playing pretty well that might be a, you know, a second tier type player. Scottie Scheffler, who played really well in the match play. Jason Day has always been my pick in this, and he's always let me down, so I'm not getting anywhere close to picking him. But, you know, some of these other guys that are really young, Tommy Fleetwood is due.
Yeah.
Like he's Tony
Casey.
Finau.
Tony
Finau.
Is Paul Casey playing? Yeah.
Yes, Paul Casey's playing, and Paul Casey's playing really well. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about some guys in their mid-40s that could still do it. Paul Casey is looking for his first major, though.
Yeah.
And who's the other?
Phil's going to be there.
Who's the other English golfer that's playing so well right now?
Lee Westwood.
You know, Lee Westwood has had a great spring.
Yeah, he's had. He's always been a you know, perennial.
Yeah, especially European player. He was on their merit order of merit for a long time, which means their money list.
Mm-hmm.
And he's playing great. And I think his new fiance has been on the bag. And
he's
just a different mode right now. Well, we'll see how he can play there.
Yeah, that was a golf bag though, right? Okay, just checking.
Why do you got to go there?
Why you got to get weird with it?
I just got off work. I'm just a little sassy right now.
Whatever helps you out with your stroke.
Yeah.
You know, Max Homa's already won this year.
Yeah.
I said it right this time.
You said, yeah, exactly. What's the other one? Joel Dahman, is he playing?
I'm not sure if he is, but, you know, one player that's did not get an invite?
Ricky Fowler.
Ricky's out.
Like,
and you have a theory about him.
Yes, I do. So, Ricky... he's with Cobra Golf and he has been
most of his career.
Well, they made a set of irons specifically for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched several videos on these irons and they are a blade, like a super blade, very similar to Tiger Woods and early on Nike irons. If everybody remembers, there's like, they're just a straight out butter blade that look like they could have been cut out of the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing with Ricky's is they're even smaller face on them.
Yeah.
So the ball, in comparison to the face size, takes up 3/4 of it.
Ugh.
Now, I'm sure that he likes it. Obviously, he likes the visual of it, but it's not helping your game
His
right now.
His game has just not been good.
It's not. And he did play well last week.
Mm-hmm.
At
Well, it was well, but it wasn't. Great.
Yeah, no, but he did finish in the top 15 or 20.
Somewhere in there.
So, you know, the Valero Texas Open,
yep.
He played well there, but it wasn't good enough to get him in this week.
Yeah.
So for Ricky to not be there, and if you're going early returns, that means if he's not making this, he's probably not going to be selected for the Ryder Cup either.
Nope.
Which he's a really good Ryder Cup record for.
Yeah.
A player at his level, but
and people like him in the locker room too. I mean,
just perfect locker room guy too.
You know,
so I think he's going to revert a little bit and not go with such a crazy golf club. But I'll send you guys. I'll send you the link for his clubs because it's like
I gotta see these.
Yeah, it's the Sam Sneeds that we have here that were from the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
They look smaller than that.
Really?
Wow. Yeah,
that's gotta be small.
Yeah, it's. And they're like a bronze, like a beryllium look to them.
Really? I guess so, I really haven't noticed.
Yeah, it's... I hope he's got them out of the bag soon. Because
yeah. It's not good.
No. And all right, so one of the glaring differences, obviously, between this Masters and the last, not only is Tiger not going to be there, but the last Masters we watched was on overseeded turf in a November.
Right.
Well, now we're back to the traditional,
said it's playing fast already.
It's playing fast, which brings more golfers into it, in my opinion, like some of the guys that aren't the crazy bombers, even though, you know, Augusta National is always going to favor a bomber. That's why you get the Bubbas, the Phils, the Tigers winning, you know, and Sergio is a better ball striker. The one exception to that in the recent memory would be Zach Johnson, who...
Not a bomber
at all. He famously did not go for not one of the par fives in two. He laid up on every one of them, but he's a world-class wedge player, so he made up for it.
Yep.
So I think it brings a lot of people in, but like I said, every one of the picks that we had, those guys are moving it.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like,
for sure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, JT moves it. Jordan moves it better than he used to, actually.
Right.
Which is, they think that's the reason that part of his game fell apart, because they told him he needs to chase distance a little bit.
Yeah.
Or he heard those chirps.
Yeah.
So he tried, and then the rest of his game kind of fell apart, and now he's got it under control, and his short game is there.
His short game is his short game.
Yeah, his putting, and that kid.
Yeah, he can putt his ass off, and he can chip. I mean, he had, with that beautiful flop shot he had on Saturday last week.
Yep. That was nice.
That was just gorgeous.
And he made, I didn't see the stats, but I'm going to guess he made over 100 feet of putts on his last round.
And if I was Charlie Hoffman, I would have been just hot, because it's like every time you saw an opening, he just shut the door.
Yep.
You know, he'd get a really good chip. You know, he'd leave it short, and he'd just put it right up next to the pin, and Charlie's just like,
I can't win.
What do I have to do?
I can't win.
What do I have to do?
You know, Charlie's been on tour a long time, but he hasn't won in 4 or 5 years.
He's one of those characters, though, you love.
Yep. He's a Pat Perez type.
Yeah.
You know, and when, remember when Charlie Hoffman came out?
He's such an ass.
I love
it is. Yeah, but tell me you wouldn't want to go drink beer with that guy.
I would love to drink beer with him and John Daly.
Uh-huh.
Harry
Higgs. I want to drink beers with that guy. That guy, I mean, he's got the unbuttoned shirt. Yep. He just doesn't give a shit.
My type of dudes.
When Charlie Hoffman first came out, he was one of those first guys that I remember with the flat brill hat. And you know, Ricky was
Nevada. Was it University of Nevada, or where was he from?
Was he a University of Nevada guy?
I thought he was from Nevada. I played college for Nevada.
Yeah, he might have. I'm not real sure, but
I couldn't remember.
Yeah, it wasn't Arizona.
No.
But it came out, and his hair was like so long, sticking out, but it was all scraggly looking, and it reminded everybody of the guy from Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
The way that guy's hair looked, and in his hat, and the hair sticking out, and he always kind of got like a doofy lope, but. He was always a really good player, and he's still on tour in his mid-40s.
There's a guy that can play 3 rounds of great golf and just choke for him.
But he came in second.
They even talked
there.
About it on Sunday. Yeah. They're like, you know what? Traditionally, this guy just misses a lot of putts on Sunday. He misses a lot of putts on Sunday.
That's got to be like, oh, man.
Oh, you know. But
a second place at the Valero, I don't know what it's worth, but I'm going to say at least half a mil.
Jordan Spieth is not a bad thing.
Yeah. Well, then who was it that won the match play? Is he... And he's in the field this week.
I don't even remember.
Give me a second here. Billy Horschel. So Billy Horschel played really well.
Yeah.
He's in the field.
Yeah.
But I don't know that he's ever finished in the top 20 of the Masters.
I don't think so.
No, because he usually loses his shit.
He'll find something to lose his shit about.
Yeah.
And I always thought that's why he didn't do well in U.S. Opens.
Yeah. Yep.
Because he's like such a anyway.
He's just never happy.
No. That's the one that chirped across the guys from the ropes. The guy was like, "Ah, man, you suck." And he was like, "There's obviously a skill difference between you and me because I'm out here playing." Yeah. And he says that caught on camera.
Yeah.
I'd have been like, dude. Yeah,
meet me in the parking lot, bro.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, you can count.
Yeah. Fucking tool bag.
Just unbelievable.
So what's your guys' plan for this week? You know, watching the Masters. I set aside all day Sunday. I want to watch. I'll spend 14 hours in front of the TV on Sundays.
Well, Saturday's supposed to be a rainy day, so I'm going to...
Down there, too?
Yeah.
Up here?
Here it's supposed to rain all day.
It's supposed to rain all day Saturday, so I'm pretty much just going to plant myself in the chair and not move.
Nice.
Yeah, that's my plan. I mean, I'll get off work.
And I'm sure we'll all be texting each other the whole time.
Coverage starts at, 3 o'clock tomorrow on ESPN?
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the only channel we have on in my house.
Yeah.
The whole time?
The whole time. So I'll probably watch
it. I'll have mine on my computer at school.
Yeah.
So, I'll be working hard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll be working hard, but it's going to be on my third screen. So.
Yeah. You know, that's one of those... Technology today keeps you so much more in the loop. When we were talking about Bubba losing his crap earlier about...
Yeah.
You're getting so anxious. I would say that social media now is even way more than when he won his Masters.
Oh, yeah.
So could you imagine now, like Patrick Reed, he can't have any kind of social media.
No.
Because every time he's on, anybody mentions...
If he opens his mouth, he's
going to... Oh, yeah, I know he's a prick.
He's just going to rip him.
So anyway, but you have to... He plays well there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's won there, you know?
I don't care.
He's one of those guys that he could be... one of the dudes teeing off on opening, you know, traditional tee shots, which is Jack.
Gary and Lee Elder, right?
And Lee Elder this year. That's really interesting.
That sucks even more for Tiger because he wants to see that.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty historic.
That's Tiger's boy.
Yeah, that is pretty historic.
Yeah, that's pretty historic, and Tiger's not going to be there for it. That sucks, dude.
Yeah, that does suck. Well, me and Chris have actually got out. We played outside a couple times here. Travis has not.
Lame.
So we need to, on Monday...
I work more hours than you do.
No, that's not true.
That is totally true.
That is totally true.
You can't back that up.
I can't say that.
There's nothing you can say.
You cannot back that up.
No,
I can't.
Well, I want to hopefully Monday after work.
Yep.
I don't care if we play nine holes somewhere, but we've got to get our Masters Challenge in videoed. Stroke play, nine holes.
Nine holes.
I mean, how are you feeling?
I know a place that I could play for free.
Well, do you want to play 18 holes there on Monday?
Hell no.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So nine holes nine somewhere? Holes.
Mm-hmm. I don't care. Where?
I don't. Well, you know, Country View is kind walking. Of our go-to.
I refuse to walk.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, Country View is probably in the best shape right now
for
a nine-hole course. I don't know what the others are looking like, but I'm pretty sure Pebble's not going to be on point at this point of the year, and I'm pretty sure
let's do
Rustic
that.
Probably wouldn't.
Rustic's probably not going to be ready to go.
So, yeah, so we're going to play Monday on our own Masters Challenge, even though Short Hills is not much. It's nine holes, regulation length. I like it. It's one of my favorite nine-hole courses.
Right.
I would like to play 18.
Short Hills is 18.
Or I'm sorry, Country View. Country View. Mm-hmm. Well, we could play Short Hills, but you don't want to play 18 holes.
No.
Yeah, lame.
Well, after watching his
display
on the
he needs to get out and play a few more times
on the indoor range here. Yeah, he needs to get outside.
We'd like to play in an hour and a half, and that's not going to happen if you're hitting the damn ball all over the
place. You don't know that?
Oh, absolutely. I think we do know that.
We
absolutely.
I'm still tired.
Yeah.
From doing that.
So anyway, that's where we're at. We're going to start dropping our weekly videos now and our weekly podcast, and we're going to have some additional guests coming in. I believe I'm going to reach out to Casey, the head coach at Knox College, and they're mid into their golf season, and then we'll probably go from there.
Yeah, we'll pick up a few people along the way.
Anyway, so your number one overall pick is?
I'm going to go with Jordan.
DJ.
And I'm going to go with JT, so that's
our
number
one.
My dark horse.
Yeah, let's get one that's just completely out of the realm of possibility.
Wallace, the kid that played Matt Wallace, who played really well. He's a bigger hitter, but he's my dark horse.
Okay.
Now I don't know how many times he's played at the Masters. I probably should have looked at that, but I think.
Okay.
Or.
You're having issues now.
I am.
You're having issues.
I was gonna say Victor Hovland, but I don't think he's a dark horse.
I don't think he's a dark horse either.
I think
35-1 odds to win.
On which one, Victor?
Victor Hovland.
Yeah, so I think he's due too.
What are the ones with the highest odds? Let's see if we can pick a dark.
Brian Harmon, Shane Lowry, Max Homa, Matt Kuchar, Matt Wolf.
Matt Wolf's not playing well.
No,
I don't care.
Kuchar's playing really well. And he's a Georgia guy.
He
played at Georgia Tech when he won the USAM.
Francisco Molinari.
I don't think he's playing that well right now. No. But you never know. Masters week.
Dylan Fratelli
played really well in the fall.
Matt Jones, who won 2 weeks ago.
No. That'll be the one to win now, Matt Jones. No.
That's about it. Mike Weir.
Oh, God.
1,000-1 odds.
Oh, Mike Weir.
That poor Mike.
You know, I think his only real sightings in the U.S. are when he comes to the
Classic.
Masters, because he's
he comes to the classic.
Yeah, the Classic, because that's one of the probably sponsor invites that
yep,
he gets.
Mm-hmm.
Henrik Stenson, 400-1.
Hendrick is not playing
well at all.
Johnson, 210-1.
Yeah, no. He's another one that's probably only there because of his past championship.
Phil, 160-1.
Not happening.
You don't know. That's why they played the game.
That is true.
Bubba, 90-1.
I don't like that either.
I don't either.
Jason Day, 60-1. Adam Scott, 49-1.
Adam Scott, we don't even talk about him much anymore.
Serge,
no, and he's played well this year, too.
Yeah, I know.
Serge is 47-1.
Yeah,
Scotty Scheffler is 47-1.
Yeah, see, I think Scotty Scheffler could play.
That's a true dark horse right there.
Hideki.
Ooh,
Matsuyama.
You know what? I don't see him. I've never seen, I mean, it's rare you ever see him.
Here's mine. Nope, here's mine. Daniel Berger.
Ooh,
I'm going to go with Scheffler.
I think those are all good picks.
Daniel Berger.
You're just hungry. You're just hungry
is
all.
I'm starving.
I'm just going to throw Max Homa out there. I'm just going to throw it out there. What the hell?
Okay.
He's my dark horse.
We're all wrong.
Max what?
Homa,
okay.
Yeah, I can say it.
He said it right.
Yeah. All right, so we got golf next week, and then we're going to start getting our weekly podcast back out.
Let the ass whoopings begin.
Masters week, baby.
Uh-huh.
Masters week. Yeah, you need to get in golf shape, bro.
Yeah, seriously. You need to start walking.
You hit 24 shots here, and you're still trying to...
I hit more than that.
How many do you think you're going to hit on the first four holes when you play on Monday?
So it goes par 5, par 3...
Par four.
So 5, 8, 12, 16.
I bet you're at 16 before
16.
You hit your approach shot on 3.
Yeah, I'm going to put 5 on that.
I'm at 16 on hole number 1 because I'll hit it in the
shit. Okay. So, all right, mark it down. He's going to play 4 complete holes and under 16 strokes.
Not under.
On the number?
On the number.
Okay, hold on.
Let's
go 2 over.
I'll put $10 on it that you... All right, so the first 4 holes, you said that'd be par would be 16?
Yep.
I'm going to say 21 strokes.
Ooh. You're going to take an 8 on the first hole.
No, I'm not.
21 strokes.
I'm going to hit like a nice cut, then I'll lay up because I'll get scared.
From tee to hole on number 4, I think...
What's your best score on the
21.
First hole? What's your best score on that first hole?
Oh, shit. 8? I think I've always taken an 8.
Okay.
Okay.
I like my money. I like my chances.
I parted on Monday, and I had to hit a 35-foot putt to do it.
Yeah, I'm not scared.
All right. So here we go. All right, everybody. Have a great Masters weekend. Get your wagers in now. Oh, and this just in. Tiger may have been speeding when he was...
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, they said...
Did you see what...
Huh?
Did you see it? What? How fast he was going?
No, how fast was he going?
84 to 87.
Mm-hmm.
And when he hit the tree, 75 mile an hour.
Well, no wonder his legs snapped like a tree.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Jesus. So, but he's at least, he's messaging everybody, so at least he's in good spirits.
Yep.
No Tiger sightings yet.
Nope.
I imagine he's still in a wheelchair. But
I bet she's laying in a bed not moving.
Very possible.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway, here we go. Masters right. week.
Yep.
See you, everybody.
Later.
Are we ready?
Yeah, let's do it. Make sure that wasn't recorded, by the way.
Oh, no, yeah. I've got 15 minutes of us talking shit about people.